Welcome back to Prep Sports Now. Mic check, 1, 2. Think we're looking a little bit better today, or sounding a little bit better.
We're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, feeling a little bit better, too. That's maybe because I think we might have made history last week. Totally insignificant history that no one probably cares about other than us. But I was thinking for like the 5 years where we've been the two main parties involved covering high school football here at the Sun, I don't think there's been a week where we both drove to a game on the northern side of town featuring two northern teams. A lot of times if it's close, we'll stick here close to the nest in Henderson so we can get home and make some phone calls to other coaches. But I went to Legacy, and you went to – was the game at Arborview? Centennial? You went to Arborview for Arborview Centennial. We're going to talk a lot about that. Now we hopefully have a little bit better handle on some of the best teams over on the other side of town.
GPS Friday is what I called it.
GPS Friday. That's a good moniker. We've already seen a lot of the Henderson teams, so we'll get to all that before we, as always, bring you the picks. But first of all, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero. Always buckle out. Buckle up. Watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted.
Amen.
That's right. You can download the show on iTunes, Prep Sports Now. Search for it. Let us know if the logo, what you think of the logo. It should be up by now. And
when you're at a game, make sure to send us your fan photos using the hashtag SunStandout. Tweet us at Las Vegas Sun those photos. Great job to the Aggies of Arborview and the instigators of Green Valley and everybody coming through with your photos. You could also find me on Twitter at RayBrewer21 or at Case Kiefer.
For sure. So we'll get on to it. Arborview Centennial. Arborview. The game you were at, Arborview, just smashed them. You were right with this being a route. What'd you take away?
Arborview is big, strong, physical. When they walk out onto the field, you see how lean and muscular they are. They put a lot of time and effort into getting their kids stronger and in good condition, and it really showed. Up front, there was absolutely no match. They clearly dominated. And Centennial, in my opinion, had the best athlete on the field in Lance Worthington, but they could not get him the ball in space because the Arborview line was constantly through there. When Centennial did manage a piece of drive together, Case, on some penalties, they fumbled, and Arborview took it 95 yards to the house, one of two defensive touchdowns. They're organized. They're a good team, and they're going to be fun to watch. I really think they're going to give a lot of folks some fits.
For sure, and it's going to be an interesting race to watch all year in that division because, of course, they knocked off one rival, but the ever anticipated showdown with Palo Verde still at the end of the year, I believe. I saw Palo Verde on Thursday. It's tough to say Thursday. Still throws me off a little bit. And I think they kind of lived up to your hype, too. They offensively had a great showing against Legacy, had some trouble early in the game, and then kind of let Legacy back into it. But for the most part, beat Legacy up pretty good, 47-32. Parker Ross just passing all over the place. I think that Palo Verde and Arborview are going to be 1-2. It's just who lands who all year in that division.
Not your mama's Palo Verde. Palo Verde used to the wing attack, running the ball, misdirection, and they threw the ball and threw it quite well. Case, was this a one-time deal, or do they still run some of the wing, or what should we expect from that offense the rest of the way?
Yeah, it's going to be a question because everyone I talked to over there after the game was saying, we never expected to throw it this much. We really didn't think it was going to happen. So I don't know. I lean that it was they're probably not going to throw it 16 times, for the rest of the year, and they're going to get back to their run, but it's just one of those things where you never know. I know, Darwin Ross, a longtime coach at Palo Verde, has a ton of trust in his quarterback, his son, Parker Ross. And I guess a bunch of the passes, maybe even more than half of them, were things that Parker noticed in the defense. And he actually called the plays, I was wondering if he like audibles at the line of scrimmage, but supposedly no, he just runs over to the sidelines and tells him what he sees, and he gets a lot of control in the offense. And Darwin says that, you know, he deserves it. He's as smart as anyone when it comes to making the right play call. So I guess if you're giving your quarterback that much control, and why not? I mean, he's a 3-year starter. He knows the game. He's grown up with it. I guess if he keeps seeing openings in the passing game, they'll go after it to exploit it.
And that's why I like Paolo this year, is that, you know, Ross spent his entire childhood breaking down film with his dad. He's a super intelligent kid. I believe he's a straight-A student. And if you're going to give somebody the keys of the Cadillac, you might as well give the driver somebody who's your mirror image. And I really like Paolo this year. I think up front, first of all, I think Michael Hughes Jr. is one of the best linemen in the state. He's very quick, strong and physical. He makes things happen defensively. I'm sure you saw that. They've got a lot of returners up front on the line. I do worry about them, Case, defensively. You saw Casey Hughes, a fast athlete, go for more than 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, I believe. And I know that Paolo's secondary is also very inexperienced. So we'll see if the defense holds him back.
Yeah, I think the defense is actually going to improve. And I know I'm one of these people that can't believe the lack of defense we see sometimes with, 47-32. But the more people you talk to, and I think it started with you, just think that Casey Hughes is just that great of a talent. I mean, the guy's probably the fastest kid in high school football right now. I think he's a state champion track athlete. He had 260-some yards against Paolo, which maybe is another thing that you don't see very often. He kind of ran wild. I don't know how much legacy he has behind him. I don't know if they're an elite team in town if it isn't for him. But I think, you know, that's a tough first assignment for this Paolo defense. They definitely got better with it for a stretch. I mean, for one stretch of the game, it was 28-0. But then Hughes lit up again. I think the Paolo defense is gonna improve. It's driving me crazy. You know, last week I brought you – it's like an ongoing series with me. I try to bring these under-the-radar guys that aren't getting enough love and are really good.
Santiago,
last week,
baby.
Josh Santiago for Green Valley. This week I had someone for Paolo Verde who I was really impressed with. I think he was a defensive end, but I could have sworn he was number 32, and I got no 32 on the roster. I'm going to have to look at my notes when we get off, and maybe I'll bring it to him next week. But that was kind of my larger point, was they have some guys that can play up front. I really think you can see the talent already, and I think it's going to just get better as the season goes. Oh, and Jake Ortal had a great offensive game, which everyone's talking about, but the guy makes like every tackle on defense too.
Yeah, he's pretty good defense.
That guy's a great player.
Let me ask you this question. You've covered 2 games this year, Henderson Bowl, Basic Green Valley, and then last Thursday, Legacy Paolo Verde. Who is more valuable to their team, Antre Johnson to Basic or Casey Hughes to Legacy?
Oh, so I thought you were going to make this easier than you were. I thought you were going quarterbacks. I thought you were going to say Parker Rost or Antre Johnson. And as much as I love Parker Rost, I think he had probably the best performance of the year so far, I'd have to go Antre's. I think he's almost all the Basic has. And Paolo has, I mean, it's pretty much stacked with some standout guys.
If you took both of them away, both teams, I think, would struggle to make the playoffs.
Oh, both teams would struggle to get wins. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, advanced statistics. You know, this is more of a baseball thing, but wins above replacement war. I think both of those guys might be the 2 highest in town. I mean, Legacy had a couple other quick kids that they got the ball to. I should have the other guy's name in front of me. I don't. He had about 60 yards. But Legacy, when they tried to throw the ball, was an absolute disaster.
Always,
and that's
a
putting
disaster.
It nicely.
They've,
I mean,
never been able to throw the ball.
They went like 1
years.
For 9. So that was but then the thing is with Antre, he does it all. He runs, throws.
But he can't throw it to himself.
But he doesn't play defense. Hughes is their best defensive player, too. That breaks the tie. I'm giving it to Casey Hughes. I still think Antre – I think offensively Antre might be a little bit more valuable. But you throw in the fact that Casey Hughes is their best defensive player.
The bottom line is that both teams would struggle without each other. I've never seen Casey Hughes in person before. So I don't think it's fair for me to make the judgment, but to put up 260 against Paolo is pretty darn impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely impressive.
Also last week, Case, my Coronado Cougars, who I predicted the beat Green Valley.
You see why I didn't bring that one up for the first 10 minutes or whatever?
Green Valley, my Coronado Cougars, took care of business.
They did, beating Green Valley.
Region favorite Green Valley.
Yeah, region favorite. The team I thought was going to win the region, the team that I thought, I really just could not imagine losing this game. I did not see him losing at all. I was pretty stunned even when you picked Coronado. I think that came across in the podcast last week. But, hey, they did it. I was talking to you before this. We probably should have saved it for the show. But the thing I took away from seeing the very end of the game at home, kind of hearing what the commentators had to say on TV, looking at the stats, I think it just speaks to how big discipline and being the team that makes less mistakes is. Because if Coronado and Green Valley play again tomorrow, I'm sorry, I'm still picking Green Valley. I didn't see anything in that game differently to make me think that they aren't the better team, that they aren't going to probably even have a better year. But Coronado, just extremely disciplined, didn't make mistakes, forced turnovers. The younger Kofor is making 50, almost 50-yard field goals. I just think my big takeaway from this game is it shows there is a value for all those things coaches preach about not committing penalties, capitalizing on turnovers. I think that's why Coronado was able to beat him.
Green Valley with 21 first-half points. They do not score in the second half, the result of those turnovers. And you had told me the yards gained leaned heavily in favor of Green Valley as well. So Coronado definitely escaped. But I also think Coronado has Green Valley's number. The last three times they've played, Coronado's 2-1. They gave up a 19-point lead in that first game. And it's just a point, like with boxing, Juan Manuel Marquez matches up good against Manny Pacquiao, for example.
I don't buy it. I don't think that's what it is. It's a rivalry game. I think a lot can happen. But I think the bottom line is they've played three times in the last few months, like you said, and it's 2-1, one side. It's not like Coronado was destroying them. That's why I don't really look at it as a matchup thing. This time I just really think Green Valley's, call it what you will. I mean, they had some injuries.
Cheeto Hernandez was out.
Green Valley had a huge, big rivalry game last week in the Henderson Bowl, so maybe they were a little bit hungover from that. But you still look at the stats, and Green Valley threw for like 420 yards. Coronado threw for like 70. Green Valley outgained them by almost 200 yards. I mean, everything you look at just to the football game, Green Valley did better. Coronado played smarter. They didn't make mistakes. They took care of the ball, and special teams, huge. I mean, they don't win this game without special teams.
Green Valley, a team we had in our preseason poll at 3 behind Palo Verde. They lose an opener to a team from Arizona, give up a lot of points against Basic, but they win that game. And then they lose last week to Coronado. They're 1-2, possibly being 1-3 because they play Palo this week. Is this a case where we overvalued Green Valley, they've gotten unlucky, or do you think when it's all said and done, they're still going to be the best team in the Sunrise?
Now, you know, of course I'm standing up for them and saying they look really good statistically, but I think I could speak for myself. I know you were a little bit, you actually ended up ranking them really high, but you were a little bit pump the brakes, let's see. I think I just rated them too high. I said I thought they were going to be the second best team in town when all was said and done, and I'm not so sure about that anymore. I mean, even the Basic game, they kind of struggled with Basic a little bit, kept them in it for longer than they should. Defensively, I still think they have some things they need to improve. I don't know. I don't think 2 weeks ago I would have said they're going to win the region. I don't have no way I would pick against them, and I would never have thought they're not going to win the division. But how good does Vegas look now? I don't even know if they're going to win the division now.
I mean, and maybe it's a fact that they overachieved last year. They had to rally to beat Canyon to win the league. They end up winning the league, and now all of a sudden, you know, they got a D1 kid in Crosby. They sling the ball around with Lopez and his wide receivers. And now all of a sudden they get anointed so high by me and everyone else, and maybe they hear that they're anointed so high, and they think they're maybe better than they turned out to be.
Yeah, last year we thought they weren't going to be any good. We both picked them not to make the playoffs.
They proved us wrong.
Yeah. Now this year we think they're going to be great, and so far, I mean, they've played a tough schedule, so I guess you have to take this with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I don't think it's fair to say I don't think it's not fair to say they've been a disappointment this year so far.
Does that mean that Liberty is still the team to beat in the Sunrise, the three-time Sunrise champions that haven't lost a game to a Sunrise opponent in that run?
Yeah, I mean, Liberty still is probably going to – it's tough to say. We want to see them play more local competition than just Silverado, but Liberty's probably the favorite at this point.
I still think that until somebody beats Liberty, they're the team to beat. And it should be an interesting rest of the way.
God, their first division game isn't until October. Still have Hamilton from Arizona this week, which I don't think is going to be pretty.
If
Hamilton's half as good as when I saw Hamilton 2 years ago, I think they should beat Liberty pretty handily.
Arizona just comes over the border to Nevada and beats the heck out of every one of our teams.
And then after that, Liberty has Durango before they finally play Coronado.
That's going to be a fun little game, huh?
Well, you got to think they're going to beat Durango. You got to think that's a win. But Durango,
yeah, they'll probably beat Durango. But I'm saying that the Liberty Coronado game will be fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Liberty Coronado.
Yeah, the Durango game. I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick Liberty in that one.
I think you're going to be proven correct.
Okay. First time for everything. Bishop Gorman played Friday. They beat Crespi out of California, 3-1 against national competition. 42-9, I think the final was, Case. Only 14-2 at halftime. Gorman didn't play that well in the first half. Credit to them, though, in the second half, they came out and they ran the ball, and they ran it real well. And it was kind of a little reminder to everybody that they're big and physical and nasty up front, and if they want to, they'll get in the power eye and just do whatever they need to. And there was, for a moment, I'll be honest with you, Thursday, where I saw how nice Arborview was up front, and I said, well, maybe Arborview could push around with Gorman a little bit in the trenches. And then I saw Gorman just strap it up and say, my tackle is better than your tackle, my center's better than your nose guard, my guard's better than your guard, we're going to run it. I don't care who you put back there. Next thing you know, Russell Booz, a kid I never heard of, takes it to the house.
Yeah, that's my weekly question, is who stood out for Gorman this week? Because it seems like someone new every week that you can add to the list.
Russell,
so that's
Booz,
your guy this year? This week?
Wearing number 24, Nate Stark's his number. Stark's no longer with the team, obviously. And I tell you what, this kid had a few good runs before, but I knew he was just going to be Daniel Stewart's backup, so I didn't really try to take a good look at him. But every time this kid got the ball, he was in space. He found a way to get positive yards. And I don't know if that's because he's shifty and he's got good moves and some speed, or if it's because Gorman's line makes it to where anybody could pick up yards and do well. If you look back the last 4 years at all their tailbacks, I mean, anybody who carries the ball for them on a regular basis is a near 2,000 yard per rusher. You know, Vic Balin, Shaq Powell, Nate Starks.
Wow, going back in the annals for some of those names.
I mean, Vic Beelen was like six-string running back. Remember 4 years ago? Then all of a sudden he's the man, and he's rushing for 2,000 yards to get a scholarship.
Going back with some of those names. And the whole for a minute you thought maybe Arborview could challenge him. I think it's just – I don't know if I want to call it optimism or what, but I think you try to see that in teams. Like, oh, maybe they can challenge Gorman. As I was thinking that for a second – when I was watching Palo Verde just explode with the passing game, watching Parker Ross just throw these ridiculous balls right in the hands of Jay Cortal, just right perfect spot, 40 yards down the field.
And they've been teammates. Jay Cortal's dad, Ted, is an assistant coach at Palo.
Yeah, they've been
teammates forever.
I mean, they've known each other since before they can remember. I mean, when they were like a month old. So, you know, seeing that, I was like, wow, maybe they can make it interesting against Gorman this year. But no, that was like 1 second. And then I'm like, okay. Knock myself back to earth. Not going to happen. But I do think Palo Verde very likely could be the second best team in town this year.
Well, and here's the deal. You go back to 2 years ago when Liberty had two leads in the first half against Gorman, and I think Palo might be able to smack them a little bit. I don't think they're going to beat them, but I think they're going to be able to keep the game competitive, to score some points. And I think if Gorman plays bad, we saw – a bad half against Crespi. Granted, they were up 14-2 at the half, but you saw an interception, a snap going to the end zone, giving up big plays on third down. If Gorman leaves the door open a little bit for Paolo, I think Paolo might be able to strike a few times and keep things interesting. And we've never really seen Gorman be challenged in the fourth quarter against a local team when it's a possession here or a possession there. And I think that would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun, and it's a game everyone's looking forward to. The question is, though, are we looking at the wrong team? Do you think – you've seen them now. Do you think Arborview is that number two team over on that side of town?
Well, I know this. Arborview has never made it past the semis of the region, and I think Arborview is doing everything right. They've got great coaching, a lot of participation, dedicated to their craft, to the weight room, to their system. I just think that this is one last go-around for Paolo. I think Paolo probably drops off significantly after this year, and I really think Arbor and Centennial are going to be the two teams to reckon with over there, along with Gorman, obviously. But every year you're still going to have the four teams, Gorman, Centennial, Arbor, and Paolo, and it's just who's Gorman going to beat on which weekend.
Are we sure – you might jump down my throat at this or someone
go
might.
Ahead.
But are we sure the four teams include Centennial? I mean, look, it was only 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Centennial had, like, not made the playoffs in Lord knows how many years. Look at their division this year. All these teams seem improved. Bonanza's better. Cimarron just absolutely smashed Sierra Vista. They think they can take second in the league. Legacy has one of the best talents in town. Desert Oasis started their season with a 52-0 victory. I don't know if we can pencil in Centennial when all these teams seem to be going in the right direction.
Well, here's the deal. I know this. Centennial has won a playoff game in each of the last 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess it was the first year I was here then. They hadn't made the playoffs in a long time.
Leon's first
deal.
Year over there, they made the playoffs. They've beaten Desert Oasis. Last year they went to the championship game. If Centennial and Legacy played, do you still like Legacy to beat Centennial?
I would not have said this a couple weeks ago, but now after seeing Legacy and seeing like kind of how Centennial's game went, they do play at the end of the year. Right now I'd have to pick Legacy. I think right now they're the better team. And I'm not so sure it's going to be a walkover with Cimarron either.
Yeah, you're right.
You're still ready to pencil him into that game? I mean,
all I know is that whoever takes second in that league will likely be a semifinalist in the region because they'll match up against the three in the other league, which we know it's Arbor, Paolo, and a huge drop. Or Paolo and Arbor, however you want to mention it, and a huge drop. So between Legacy, Centennial, and your Cimarron Spartans, whoever takes second is now going to be playing in the semis.
Yeah, I don't. I think I would pick against Centennial coming in second. Also, you misspoke a little. It's only been 3 years they've been in the playoffs. They were 3-7 the year before. That's what I thought. I mean, I remember when Leon came over there. I mean, this wasn't a team that was elite in any regard.
Now,
I mean, they were downtrodden. Now, yeah. I mean, he's done a great job. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying it wasn't that long ago where Centennial wasn't in this elite class, which to me says it's not that surprising if they fall out again.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Maybe they fall out this year because they got a lot of younger players they're breaking in. But I'm telling you right now, the
long term, I agree.
The long term, I think Centennial could be the team.
Yeah, I mean, they're building something over there for sure. I just think it might be kind of a down year. Looking into it a little bit and talking to people, I'm pretty high on Cimarron, and Legacy, I think, is really, really good too. So I wouldn't even be stunned if Centennial came in fourth. I think they're probably still better than Bonanza. But
I mean, I had Legacy ahead of Centennial in the preseason top 10.
And I would have disagreed then. I think I made the remark, maybe even on the podcast, that it's not going to be long that Legacy's in there. But after seeing them, I mean, they got one of the best talents in town in Casey Hughes. So
they do. They do.
They can stick around.
They can stick around. But with that said, they could also implode if something happens to Casey Hughes.
That's true.
So, let's get on to the picks.
All right. You got the schedule in front of you, so I guess you'll run the show today.
I will just go in order of the order of the Clark County School District what they have.
All right.
We'll start with Legacy Mojave Thursday Night Lights.
Actually, the school district started with the Gorman Liberty JV game. Pretty interesting. Two of the best maybe the two best teams in town's JV programs. We don't have to pick it, but I just think it's worth throwing out that they're playing this week.
And their freshmen play at 4 and their JVs play at 6.
On what, Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. Interesting. Which, by the way, Liberty would become the first public school team in how many years to schedule a non-league game against Gorman? Because all the principals got together and said, we don't want to play Gorman. The NIAA says, you can't do that, yet they still do it, and nobody says anything because, Case, there's a lot wrong in Nevada.
I don't know anything about this, so I'm just going to close my mouth.
Gorman, Liberty, shout out to Liberty, and I guess Liberty's principal or whoever over at Liberty had the courage to play Gorman in a non-league game. So Gorman typically struggles to find games for its lower level teams.
Okay,
for whatever it's worth, but I'm not making a pick in either of those.
All right. So now the game you did want to start with was Legacy
at Mojave.
This is a tough one. I mean, Mojave's coming off. I mean, they got to be a little disappointed after just getting run out of the
Overton.
Yeah, just getting run out of Overton by Moapa Valley. We christened that the game of the week. Thought it was going to be great. The two teams that had the best chance to win the lower level state championship, and Moapa won 35-6. I mean, just smashed Mojave.
And Truckee got smashed at home now, so Moapa Valley is in the driver's seat.
If Moapa Valley can't do it this year, we pick them every year, but if they can't do it this year, I might have to be off the bandwagon of picking them to win state championships.
Well, I will tell you this with Moapa Valley, its schedule case is very weak, and I don't know if they're going to be tested or ready to go once the playoffs come. If you look who they're playing, I think this week they play Pahrump, which is improved, of course. Then you hop right into league play, and it's like Sunrise Mountain, Boulder City. The league's not that good until you get to the Desert Pines game. And in years past, they had the Sullenberger game, or they would travel into Utah to pick up a good game. And when Mojave was supposed to be that test, they were just ready to play, and Mojave shot itself in the foot multiple times with multiple guns, and Moapa steamrolled them. With that said, back to the Legacy Mojave game, after you said you love Casey Hughes three times already, how could you even debate this game? I think it's Casey Hughes.
I'm picking Legacy.
Oh,
I just think it's going to be – it could be a close game. I mean, Mojave – has shown some stuff, and I'm picking Legacy. And I also, as much as I usually disagree and don't like your theories about being tested and having experience, I think all that stuff's really overrated. I think you have a good argument with Moapa, because we kind of saw that last year. They were beating everyone 45-6 or
playing their
59-6. Then they go into the playoffs and almost lose to the same Mojave team that they just destroyed.
Yeah, when you're playing your one's only half the game. Those kids aren't getting enough reps, and they're getting reps against Sunrise Mountain.
So, yeah, maybe there's a point there. I think they'll probably still see Mojave again, but I think Mojave's about to endure a two-game losing streak. I got to pick Legacy here. I don't see how they're going to be able to tackle
Mojave. Is Mojave still
Hughes
the favorite to win that region, their Sunset region, or whatever they call it, Division 1A Sunset? It's Pahrump,
it's a realignment.
Chi-town,
I still need to get
Faith,
this. Yes, I mean
Clark and Western.
Look at how bad they beat. Who's the team they just destroyed this year? Boulder City. Did they play anyone else after that? They killed someone else too. Boulder City and Spring Valley. They destroyed. I think they said enough in those games to me to make me think they're going to beat up on everyone else.
With that said, they struggle a little bit against Spring because they were shooting themselves in the foot.
They won 27-6. We're struggling that much.
It was close. It wasn't 27-0 and then run out the clock.
Well,
it was
27-6 says something to me. I think they're trying to paint that they had penalties and need things to improve, but if you can walk away with a 21-point victory over a higher level school, you're taking it.
Yeah,
I'm still high on Mojave, but
I'm still high on Mojave.
Legacy
too.
This week.
Legacy,
I think
this
we
week
agree.
Del Sol at Spring Valley. Del Sol shut out 40-0 at Desert Oasis last week. The Dragons 0-2, Spring Valley off a bye. At home, I take the Grizzlies. Spring Valley over Del Sol.
How bad did I look last week picking Del Sol in that game? That was maybe my worst. I had a terrible week last week. I haven't done the records, but you might be 10 games ahead of me. I feel like I went 500.
And we thought that this would be an equally matched game. We didn't expect Desert Oasis to have much. We know they lost some players to Liberty, and we thought they'd be down. So either Del Sol is bottom of the barrel down, or Dio's a little better than everybody thought.
Yeah, or maybe I think it's probably a little bit of both. That being said, there's no way I can pick you a week after you let me down by losing by 52 points. So I'm going Spring Valley all the way here.
Spring Valley all the way. Sea Springs at Basic. The Wolfpack schedule, absolutely brutal. Green Valley, Vegas, and now Canyon Springs at home. Home opener for the Wolfpack, September 20th. That's embarrassing because Basic should always play the first week of the year at home. One of the only true home field advantages in town. The whole freaking Pittman goes over to those games. Case, it's pretty cool. It's cool to go to a Basic game. I love the Basic fight song. With that said, I think Canyon beats him.
I didn't even know what Pittman was. It's the name of one of our divisions in the fantasy football team. What is Pittman considered?
It's probably, do you know where it's the area kind of behind Joker's Wild? So it's probably from Sunset in Boulder to the Hyundai dealership in Boulder. It's Pittman was a part of Henderson back in the day. And
so is it all just the Basic school district pretty much?
No, because Basic gets most of its students from behind the school over by the Kmart over there.
Okay.
It's old Hendertucky, bro.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't that colloquially known as Hendertucky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrongly named as Hendertucky because there's a lot of bright people over there. I love Basic.
Hey, well, you're saying there's not a lot of bright people in Kentucky?
Well, depends.
I mean, either way, you're taking away something from someone when you put it that way.
Here's the deal. In my inaugural years in journalism, I covered like every Basic game, so I got a good grasp on the Basic zone. I love Canyon in this game.
I'm taking Basic.
Are you?
I'm doing it. Look, they ended up losing pretty bad to both Green Valley and Vegas, at least two touchdowns each, right?
They faded late, which is a sign of...
but they faded late. They were in both games.
Faded late.
They're going to play well one of these weeks, I think.
And Canyon and Basic have played the last 2 years in the playoffs, by the way.
And who's won?
Split.
Canyon once, Basic the year before, right?
Split.
Okay. Yeah, I'm setting myself up for more failure, but I'm going to take Basic.
Okay. Valley at Desert Oasis. Valley beat Del Sol. Del Sol lost to Desert Oasis.
Del Sol almost beat Valley, though.
They were up big. Or they were up.
Yeah, I think it was 21-7.
Yeah. I got Dio in this game.
I can't pick against Desert Oasis after what they showed last year. Very impressive with what they did defensively. I mean, I don't care who it is, getting the shutout, I think, says something. A kid that they're excited for over there, Jacquez Khalili, scored four touchdowns in the first half. They might have something in this kid. They say he's by far the fastest kid they've ever had over there. I think they're going to be better than we thought this year, and I think he's going to be a big reason why.
What grade is he in?
I want to say junior, but I don't have it in front of me.
Hopefully he doesn't end up at Liberty next year, right?
And had like 250 yards or something, and they benched him at halftime. 250 yards and four touchdowns.
Wow. That's either a sign that Del Sol's struggling or Dio's got something.
Yeah, I mean, Dio still could struggle the rest of the year, but I think this is, even if they do, I think this is one bright spot.
I agree with you. Next game, Rancho at Sierra Vista. Sierra Vista.
I mean, you love Sierra Vista. You thought they were going to beat Cimarron, so how can you not pick them against
Cimarron
the Rancho?
I picked Cimarron to win. I just thought it'd
barely
be closer.
After you flipped a coin and it landed on heads for Cimarron and not tails for Sierra Vista.
What is this, the old Cimarron? Is Vernon Fox going to run out?
The old Cimarron is back.
Is Spencer the coach again? They've got massive linemen? This is not... Cimarron hasn't been world beaters the last few years. Forgive me if I thought the game was going to be close. They proved me wrong. By no means are they, you know, back in the Final Four.
So you aren't calling this one a coin flip between Sierra Vista and Rancho?
No. Come on. Sierra Vista.
I think Sierra Vista, too.
Okay. All right. El Dog at Sunrise Mountain. Sunrise Mountain, a school that never should have opened. playing El Dorado. Sunrise Mountain took all of its players from El Dorado. Should be one team. I'll take El Dorado.
Is it crazy to think Sunrise has a chance in this game?
It's not crazy at all, buddy.
I just don't know if I can pick them, but look, I'm pretty disappointed with El Dorado this year. I mean, you picked them to win the Cleat game, which means you at least thought they were going to be decent. They lose the Cleat game and then just destroyed by Clark.
And that was my only loss last week, so I'm going back to the well for a third time here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have to lean El Dorado, but I think Sunrise Mountain, I mean, don't sleep on Sunrise Mountain. They could give them a game.
I agree with you. Paolo at Green Valley. Paolo Verde means Green Valley in Espanol, by the way. So
wow.
It's Green Valley versus Green Valley, technically. I'm going to take Green Valley. The question is which one. I'm going to take Paolo. Your reports are that they are awesome, and Green Valley has struggled out of the gates, and we still think defensively, or at least I do, that they are a liability. With that said, you know, Gio Hernandez had been missing, who I love and think is great, and this is the marquee game of the week, thank God, because it's close to my house, and I'm going to take Paolo still. I think, like I said in the preseason, Powell's on a mission to prove that its 7-5 record last year, giving up 70 to Gorman, was the result of some things they couldn't control.
Wow, what a tough game.
Great game.
The reason I'm really hesitant is because you had sold me on the idea, and I believe you, that Paolo is not going to be able to defend the pass that well.
Green Valley
throws the ball extremely well.
They do, and Paolo's DBs are their weakness.
So,
do you remember the rap song or the song that's like, "Your sweetness is my weakness"?
No.
Who sung that song? If you know at home, let me know.
I'll let you know before the end of the podcast. The problem is, matchup-wise, I just think it Barry White sang that song.
Barry White?
Yeah.
It's old school, baby.
All right. Yeah, my thing is, matchup-wise, I think it favors Green Valley South. But just seeing both of them in person, I think Green Valley North is better.
Green Valley North being
Palo Verde, right?
Yeah.
It's north of here. So I think I got to go Palo Verde.
I agree with you for once. We agree on a big game.
We agree on like every
game
this
week. With that said,
week.
Green Valley's going to beat them, and then they're going to come right over to me afterward and say, Brewer, you're wrong.
Probably.
Arbor View at Coronado, another game I'm looking forward to. Listen, Arbor View was pretty impressive up front. I like its system a little better. Coronado gave up some huge yardage, was, for all intents and purposes, lucky to win the game. I'll take my Aggies.
If Arbor View wasn't so impressive last week, I might have gone upset here. But Arbor View certainly made a statement, and I think that means that they'll win this game. But I wouldn't be stunned if Coronado played well again and maybe improved and pulled off a shocker. But
I think Coronado is going to be always well-coached and in the right position to make plays. I just think the people they're going to be trying to make plays against this week are also going to be the same, in the right spot to make plays. I think Arbor View is not going to make the mental mistakes that Green Valley did.
All right, Arbor View for both of us.
Durango at Silverado. Silverado 0-2, Durango 0-1, but they put up a good fight against Bonanza in the opener. I'm going to go with Silverado. I think they get it fixed this week, week three. They pick up the first W of the season.
Speaking of yardage and mistakes, I think it's a lot of the same story for this Durango and Bonanza game. From what I understand, it was almost dead even yards, Durango and Bonanza. But special teams for the Bengals were huge. I think they returned a punt. I think they won the turnover battle. I think that's why Bonanza beat Durango. So I think Durango is actually a little bit better than you might give them credit for this year. I mean, listening to you talk about them, it's like they're going to have no wins. I think they're going to win some games. This is just not going to be one of them. I'll go Silverado with that size. Massive, massive team.
Size hasn't really helped that much, though.
Well, they only played one game.
Two games.
Who else they lose to?
Foothill last
week. Oh, okay.
The Hill.
Well, I mean, that was
they
down
gave
to
up
the end, right?
Gave up 48.
but it was really
the Gardner
close.
Kid at quarterback. The backup looked like Joe Montana. Bing, bam, bam, bam. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
All right, well.
Gardner Montana.
Maybe Durango beats him then. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll pick Silverado.
Here's an interesting game. Shadow Ridge, which had a bye last week, and which has Jay Henderson, who kicks punts, catches balls, makes tackles, and brings out the water jug against Centennial, which is 0-2 now and was lucky to score against Arborview. They would have been two games with no points.
I got to pick Centennial. I know Shadow Ridge has some things to look forward to, and they've played pretty well, but I'm not picking Shadow Ridge to beat Centennial. Sorry.
Neither am I. I'll take the Bulldogs home opener as well for the Bulldogs. Next game, this is another interesting game. Bonanza against DP. 3-0 DP with some athletes that I think Corsi, Wilkes, Huff, that have the ability to score every time they touch the ball. I know they're not as good as some of the Division I teams in the trenches, but I think with the athletes, they could do some things. We know Bonanza, which is undefeated, has Javion Taylor, Carlos Soto. I think this is an equally matched game, but I'm taking DP because they're hot right now and they believe in themselves.
Of course you would pick DP. I just knew you were going to go that way.
You know me. I like
Javion
DP.
Taylor broke out a little bit last week, 2 touchdowns against Durango. I think Bonanza is going to win this game. I like the way they're playing. Tyler Pinkowski at quarterback, guiding the team, doing good things. Defensively, they've been
this is going to be a good
pretty
game.
Rigid.
I agree with
you. I think DP is going to have a tough time scoring on them.
No way. Dude, bro, this is a track meet. Javion Taylor's the fastest player on the field, and DP's got players 2 through 7.
I give you how many points do you think DP is going to score?
At least 32.
I'll give you under 30 right now. $5 bet of the week.
$5 bet of the week.
Well, I don't know what it was last week, but I'm assuming you probably won. It was something about margin of victory.
Ooh. Something. I had Coronado, though.
Oh, you had Coronado, and I had Centennial.
Okay, so
maybe.
I'm good.
Was that it?
We'll have to go back and listen, but I had something with Coronado.
Yeah, you probably won.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And I know I got Gorman like plus 19 against Booker T, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that one.
You still are?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Next game on the slate. Case Kiefer's Cimarron Memorial Spartans, 1-0 with a convincing win against Chi-Town, which is down a little bit this year. I like Cimarron.
Wow. Can you repeat that?
I love Cimarron.
You would not have picked Cimarron in this game a week ago, I don't think.
No.
You didn't like. You said it was a coin flip with Sierra Vista, and I believe you. Hey, I'm mainly mad because I mainly keep bringing this up because I believe you.
I know that's
going to
be
close.
It's like there's 32 teams. I'm pretty accurate on 31 of the 32 teams. The one game I'm inaccurate about, people get on me, or I get off a plane from Massachusetts, I missed it. Doc Stater got hurt, and somebody on the comment board's like, Brewer, do your homework. Doc Stater's hurt. Okay, give me a break. I can't keep track with all 32 teams, and they still beat Silverado.
How long is Doc Stater out?
No clue. I think it's a knee again from what I understand.
Eesh.
So it's a sad thing.
Michael Barnson, Cimarron Memorial.
Had a day, no doubt.
He's going to have a day. Derek Moorfield at quarterback. Deshaun Watson at receiver. This whole roster is loaded. Cimarron Memorial is going to compete this year. They're going to beat up on Cheyenne.
All right. Pahrump, the improved Pahrump Valley Trojans, how fitting. Love the nickname. Against Moapa Valley, Pahrump lost last week at Boulder in a coin flip, a true coin flip. Moapa, as we said, is the class of the – they're the perennial power. They're the granddaddy of them all.
I was regretting it as soon as I picked Pahrump last week to beat Boulder City, even though it was a close game.
It was one of those coin flips.
But there's no question this week. They are driving to their slaughter.
I agree with you.
Oh, wait, are they at home?
No, they're in Overton.
They're getting thrown into the back of a truck and just put on the field to be feasted upon. It's not even close.
It's homecoming at Chaparral High, where I went. Is this 20 years for me? Would it be 20 years if I graduate? Because it's class of 2014, and I'm 94, or would this be the class of 93 20 years?
I think technically, I mean, you could claim it because it's the school year, but I think technically it would be the class of 93, the way they actually celebrate these things.
So next year is when I got to do the reunion.
But you could say school, yeah, next year, but you could say it's the school year.
Yeah. 20 year Are you getting close to your tenure?
Close, not quite there.
How many years?
This is 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Are you going to go to your tenure?
Yeah, I'll go. Although my high school, it's the 50th year they're open this year, and they're just sending me stuff every day about coming to the 50th anniversary. Looking for money, one, and number two, inviting me to the 50th anniversary celebration, which I will not be attending. But
you went to Bishop Wichita Gorman.
Wichita Collegiate. And I wish them the best, for the record. I hope they're I haven't looked at the football schedule this year, but I hope they're doing great, but I will not be part of the festivities.
I missed my 10-year, which would have been when I was 28, so 9 years ago. That was before Facebook came. Now that we have Facebook and we're friends on Facebook with some of the people we knew in high school, and you can kind of see that they've had a kid or they've gotten fat or whatever it may be, do you even need to go to your reunion? Like all the like cool popular girls.
I want to see all that. I mean, I want to see all these people I was friends with that I haven't seen in a long time.
Wait till you see the popular.
I haven't seen all my friends that I grew up with in a long time, so I'll go.
Okay. All right.
I can't believe this. This has to be the first time in 20 years we're 0-2. I just looked it up on Max Preps.
Oh, yeah?
Wichita Collegiate lose 30-28 to Andale and 35-28 to Bueller.
Is it the
2 years removed from a state championship. Same coach from when I was there. Wow. 0-2. That hurts. Wow. They're playing Circle next week, who I had the greatest game of my high school career against.
Two-way player.
We don't need to talk about that. But
Case Kiefer.
0-2. All right. We got to get back on the ship, Spartans.
Homecoming, Western at Shap. You got to love when you schedule Western for the homecoming game. Ride them, Cowboys.
Shap.
2-2. All right, next game. This one, I'm actually a little torn on this game. Undefeated Virgin Valley at Mike Clark Chargers, who I've...
No reason to be torn. Virgin Valley is for real this year. D. Bowler is incredible. We name him every week, but great player. Virgin Valley is going to be all over him.
D. Bowler, Levitt, and Levitt. I like Virgin Valley as well. Boulder City at Faith Lutheran.
You go. I have to think about this one.
Listen, Boulder City's 2-1. They lost to Mojave convincingly. They beat up on Western, so what? And they won a hard-fought game against Pahrump. Faith is also 2-1.
Faith is 2-2.
2-2. They beat Sunrise, and they beat – who did they just beat? They beat
– They lost to Virgin in overtime.
And they lost to Virgin in overtime. You got to take Faith. If they lost to Virgin in overtime and you love Virgin –
Who's the best player on the field?
For Faith?
No, for in the whole game.
Well, I think it's got to be Kenyon Smith because they're going to give him the rock.
Keenan, whatever it is. All right, I thought you were going to say Xavier Steele, and I could say, are you sure? Because Keenan Smith has been awesome.
Xavier Steele might not even be the best player on his team.
What? Who's better?
Well, apparently, if you look at the carries, somebody else.
All right, I think this is close enough that I'm going to go the other way and go Boulder City.
Okay, well, you'll sleep in that grave, well, sir.
You really think it's that lopsided?
No, I
think this is like a 10-point game.
Okay,
I'll take Boulder City. Right. And yeah, Boulder City.
Okay, Liberty from Nevada hosting Hamilton from Arizona.
Hamilton,
okay. Here's a game of minor interest. Las Vegas High, 2-0. Scored 61-56 at Rancho Verde High in California.
Rancho Verde High in California. I don't know anything about them, but I'm going to pick them. I think it's just hard. I mean, what's Nevada's record?
It could be a school for blind people. I mean, I haven't even looked it up yet.
Well, yeah, neither of you have you.
I've got some background. I talked to Thurman. Go ahead. Tell me.
They're 1-2.
What you see in your iPad.
I'm calling. They're 1-2. Their coach is Thomas Duffy.
What are they?
No capital on the
D. What are they ranked nationally?
On by Max Preps.
Uh-huh.
1,594.
What's Vegas ranked?
Well, that's going to require some more.
Go to
tinkering.
The schedule and hit Vegas, right? Yeah.
Vegas.
I'm taking Vegas. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Think they're a lot better? Vegas is 15-26. This is 15-26 versus 15-94. You are the mister. It's so hard to travel, blah, blah, blah. Vegas teams can't travel well. They have to go to California.
The kitty cats are back, baby. Jacob Littlefield scoring with a pick six and catching the ball. Trevor Swenson slinging it around. All sun tailback Andrew Moreland. Great defense. The kids, I think Vegas might be back, baby. I'm taking the Cats. You know me. I take DP in Vegas.
I shouldn't take Rancho Verde because now I'm going to have to track down a logo for them to do the picks today. But I'll take Rancho Verde.
Well, I'm taking Vegas. Last game on the slate, Saturday, Bishop Gorman at Bergen Catholic. Last year, if you remember, Bergen Catholic came into Gorman and put a pretty thorough beating on him. I think in Tony Sanchez's 10-year coach, and coach, forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but this is the most lopsided loss in Tony Sanchez's tenure, if I'm not mistaken. Might be
until
wrong.
Until Booker T. Washington in a couple weeks.
We'll see. We'll see. I think Gorman returns the favor. I think this game, for personal reasons, has been circled. I would say traveling to New Jersey is a problem, but Gorman traveled to Hawaii last year. They're leaving on Wednesday night. They're going to get there with plenty of time. I think they return the favor.
Just totally, Mr. Travel, just totally abandoning his argument.
Dude,
he spent years building
no,
up.
No.
Why don't we just take every road team?
If the teams are equal, I'm down with it. Vegas is 100 times better than Rancho Verde. They just got to get there and kick some tail. Gorman, better than Bergen Catholic. Gorman needs to return the favor. Gorman, forget about the travel. They travel like the Dallas freaking Cowboys, Gabe.
100 times better? You made me look up the ranks, and they're right next to each other.
I'm telling you right now, the rankings haven't seen Andrew Moreland.
I love Andrew Moreland, too.
Right?
It hurts me to pick against him, but Rancho's going to win, and you know what? Gorman is also going to lose. Bad weekend for Nevada. All the out-of-state teams are going to win. I'm going Bergen. Probably setting myself up for failure, just That's giving fine. You more of a lead, but I don't see this as the slam dunk that you do. I think it's going to be close either way, so why not go the other? I mean, you think Gorman's going to win by double digits here?
I'm not sure, but yeah. I think they're going to win.
No. Bergen.
That's fine.
New Jersey making it happen.
Yeah, New Jersey. Steve Cofield fired up.
All right.
This has been a fun little podcast. Thanks for everybody for commenting and listening and telling me how wrong I am.
Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week.